Well, hello.
Hello.
I'm starting on my phone. I just wanted to show everyone that there's been some work taking place. It's no longer March, we're into April. I'll just turn the camera. There's our April bulletin board. And again, another empty auditorium. As you can see, we got some new banners up. Alan and Suzanne have been busy again. Just in case we're able to meet, but I kind of doubt that we're going to. I'm just going to grab a mint. Once again, welcome. If you're just joining us, happy Palm Sunday. And we have David Marshall opening the word this morning. And please be praying for him that the Lord would give him the words to speak. And it's a little bit different for us preachers to look into a camera and not into people's faces when we're doing this. So be in prayer for him. I'm sure he would appreciate that. And I've asked Ken Wallace to open our time in prayer. I'm going to bring him up.
Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us and for the opportunity to be with everyone online. We thank you for your provisions for us. We know that you love us and care for us. And Father, that you are in control. There is so much confusion and fear today because of the virus and what's going on in the world. But Father, we know that you created us, and we know that you desire to have a relationship with each one of us. And Father, we thank you for those that are listening today and for those who are worshiping you on this Sunday. And Father, we ask these things in thy holy, precious name. Amen.
Good, good, good. Well, good morning, and it's good to be with you all the way from Bancroft. And I was just thinking this morning how normally I would drive to Barrie, and it would take me 2.5 hours to get out there. And I'm not going to say that this is better. I didn't have the drive, but I would say that I would really do wish that I had been able to come out and to meet with you. But I think it's a wonderful blessing that nonetheless that we are able to gather in this fashion so that we can come around the Word of God together. And I think it's so wonderful that we have this technology that we can do so. It certainly is no substitute for actually truly gathering together, but we certainly need to be thankful for the fact that we are able to gather in this way. I think you probably know, or many of you will know, that on your Zoom screen that you're able to go to a gallery view or to a full screen view. I've decided not to go with full screen for two reasons. Number one, I don't have to look at my face too much. But just as I look at the screen and I see this gallery view, it just reminds me that there's so many who are plugged in, if you will, this morning and joining us. And I think that's a real, real blessing. So greetings to you from Bancroft, where we still have some snow on the ground, and but we have lots of sunshine as well. I'd like to read to you this morning from 2 Kings chapter 22, some verses in 2 Kings 22, and also in chapter 23. And if you have your Bible with you, maybe you'd like to turn along with me there. So 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1 to begin with, and then we'll have some readings in chapter 23 as well. 2 Kings chapter 22. And verse 1 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And then we read in verse 8, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 10, then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then let's read in 2 Kings and chapter 23. And we'll just start at verse 2, chapter 23 and verse 2. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. And then verse 21, if you will, chapter 23 and verse 21. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Father, this morning as we open the word of God together, may it indeed be a blessing to each and every one of our hearts. May your spirit, the same spirit who wrote these words for us and recorded them for us, Father, may he speak to each and every one of our hearts. May he direct us and point us to yourself. For we ask all these things, O Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there was And I think probably in the early 1900s, there was a gentleman, an elderly man, who made quite a discovery. Some years beforehand, in 1874, his aunt had left a Bible for him. In her will, she had written, "To my beloved nephew, I will and I bequeath my family Bible and all it contains." For about a 35-year period following, that man lived in absolute poverty. And all that time, he was unaware of the great treasure that actually was in his Bible. After 35 years, as he was packing his trunk to go and move in with his son, he finally opened the Bible, only to discover that there was about $5,000 scattered in various bills throughout the entire Bible. And what regrets must have filled his mind and his heart when he opened that Bible and discovered that all that time, while he'd been living in poverty, he could have had all of his needs met if only he'd opened his Bible. Well, of course, that speaks of financial need. And I realize that in a very real way for many homes, it is perhaps a concern that we might have our finances as we are in these days that we find today. But I think as we think of all of that, that the greatest need, of course, and the greatest tragedy is that we might not discover the real blessings and the real riches that are found within the Word of God. These are days in which we are locked inside our houses. And I can't help but think, there's so many times that my mind has gone to a particular song. It's in our Believer's Hymn Book, and I can't remember how it all goes, but I know that there's that line, "Shut in with thee, far, far above, the restless world that wars below." We might be shut in our homes, but we ought to find ourselves shut in with the living God. And not only that, but we should find that our Bible is not something that is shut either. It should be something that is open to us and something that is discovered for us. Tom has already mentioned that this is Palm Sunday. And it is a day, I suppose, when we might recollect in our calendar that the Lord Jesus Christ, so many years ago, rode into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. And he came to Jerusalem and he came to the temple. And when he got there, he did something that people did not expect him to do. He began to clean out of the temple all things which were dishonoring to him. And I think there's a very real sense this morning where I think we're going to realize we're drawn back to the book. We're drawn back to opening the book. And hopefully we're drawn back to the temple. That is not the temple in Jerusalem, but we're drawn toward the temple. The temple of, first of all, where the living God lives up in heaven itself. And not only that, but as we consider our temple, our own hearts, our own lives, the place where God dwells by his Holy Spirit. Well, we've read the lesson together about Josiah. He was just a young man, actually just a boy, 8 years old when he became the king. It was an amazing thing. It was a tremendous thing. It had to be something which was overwhelming as well. Perhaps and probably something that he never expected. His father had died at the age of 24, and he had only reigned for 2 years. And so he probably had not reigned as long as people had expected him to. And then we find, of course, that his grandfather, Manasseh, had reigned for 52 years. But his reign had been terrible. And Manasseh had been responsible for bringing into the nation of Judah so many abominations, so many things which were dishonoring to God. And his reign was such one that brought the people so far away from God. But Josiah, as a young boy, when he came to the throne, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. I find it interesting that as we read about him, and as we read his name and so on, we read about his mother's name. His mother's name was Jedidah. And we might wonder, why would God place the name of the mother in the book? And I think it's for this one particular reason that we're reminded that parents have a particular responsibility to their children and a tremendous influence upon them as well. This young woman had an opportunity to bring the truth of the living God to her son. And I think it's no accident that at the age of 8, that this young boy, Josiah, was decided that he was going to follow God. He was going to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. We might well ask, well, what can I do? How can I occupy myself when I'm at home? And perhaps you're finding projects to do. Perhaps you're doing a bit of spring cleaning. We have been doing that as well. Finding things that maybe we need to get rid of, things that no longer fit or whatever, things that we haven't used for a while, things that maybe are broken down or whatever. And we want to clear them out. That's at least something that we can do in our home. And perhaps you can do that as well. But I think of young Josiah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of that decision that he made, we realize it had a tremendous effect, not only on his own life, but on the lives of those who were within the nation that he led. Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Well, you're hidden away at home, and maybe you're even by yourself. There's nobody else there with you, but the Lord is there. No one else can see what it is you do. No one else can see what is going on in your home, but the Lord sees what is in your heart. And for Josiah, it wasn't so important what was right in the sight of others. It wasn't so important what was right in his own sight, but what was in the sight of the Lord that was so important to him. And in your home, you are not hidden from God. He sees what is in your heart. And so it is so important that we would decide that we would live for the Lord. One thing we can do at our home is we're going to decide that whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. I think young Josiah knew this truth, although he might not have known this verse. But Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after this, the judgment. You see, we are accountable to a holy God. And we are accountable at this time of testing to make sure that we realize that everything we do is going to be brought into account, and we are going to have to give, have an account of ourselves as to what we've done with it all. Young Josiah said, well, he was going to do what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of his father David. David, the first of that line of kings, was the one to whom everyone else was compared. Every king following was compared to David because David did, or rather was a man who had a heart for God, a man who had a heart after God's own heart. And so we find that Josiah was compared to him. You know, we all have probably some in our lives who have been a godly example to us, who have gone on ahead of us. Perhaps your father, your parents, or perhaps your grandparents, or an aunt or an uncle, or maybe perhaps others in your life who have been an example to you and have gone on ahead of you. And I wonder whether we take a care to walk in the way that they also walked. We read that young Josiah, he didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. He stayed on the path. He walked the right path. And it's reminiscent of what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. In these times of testing, it's a time to decide, like Josiah decided, that we're going to walk with God no matter what. Now, one thing that Josiah did, though, was he discovered the word of God. We read about Hilkiah, who had found the book in the temple. And this all occurred because young Josiah commissioned a cleanup of the temple. Josiah wanted to follow God, and he decided he was going to walk with him and to follow after him and do what was right. And so the first thing that he was concerned about was that the place of the worship of God would be available so that the people could come to God. If we are truly concerned about walking with God, and if we're truly concerned about doing what is right in the sight of God, if we realize that we're accountable to him, then one of the first things we're going to be concerned about is the worship of our hearts. And we're going to be concerned that there should be that renovation work that should take place in our lives. You see, the temple had fallen into disrepair. It was actually, after all, only made of physical elements, and it needed an ongoing maintenance program to take place there. And actually, it had been really quite forsaken over all that time. And so there was this renovation that took place and that Josiah had commissioned. And as that took place, we find that Hilkiah the priest found the book. And it's amazing, it's startling to think of the fact that the word of God had been neglected, it had been forgotten, it had been lost, it had been laid aside. And I can just picture Hilkiah finding this book in the corner somewhere in the temple. Think of it, the priest, the very man who was responsible to minister in the temple, found the book because it had been lost. And I wonder in our lives if it's something like that. If maybe as we're shut away inside that we've actually forgotten the book. And I wonder whether we've discovered the book. And these are times when we might find perhaps a lot of time on our hands. Or I realize that for some, as you're working from home and dealing with the children, that it brings its own set of challenges. I'd like to encourage you not to neglect the book. This is a time for discovering God's word. This is a time to blow the dust and the cobwebs off of its pages. This is the time to open it up and to discover the great truths that are within. And I think there must have been a great excitement for Hilkiah and also for Josiah as the word of God was brought to them. You know, Josiah had a decision, a desire to follow God. And he knew something perhaps orally of what God's word said. He had some understanding of who God was. He wanted to follow God. And maybe that's why it was no great surprise that the word of God was found. You know, we find that Asa, Josiah's ancestor, had been promised this in 2 Chronicles in chapter 15 and verse 2. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And so Josiah sought God, and the word of God was found. And if you're really going to be finding God, and you're going to discover what God wants you to know and learn from this experience, and even in your day-to-day life, then we must discover God's word, and you will discover the great blessing that's there. Josiah, probably with great expectation, anticipation, and excitement, had the word of God read to him. But as he heard the word of God, we read that he tore his clothes. He was absolutely grief-stricken. He was absolutely astounded at the discoveries that he found there. Because as the word of God was read to him, he realized just how far the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, had wandered away from God. He had not been aware that not only was the nation not right with God, but his heart wasn't really right with God. There were things that had been tolerated. There were things that had been accepted. There were things which had been promoted. There are things which had been overlooked, which never should have been overlooked. And so we find that as he saw how far they were from God, and that God's judgment was against those things, the holy God was not pleased with those things, he tore his clothes in great grief. Not only that, but he realized that God would hold him accountable and the nation accountable. Actually, what happened, if we were to read the rest of chapter 22, we'd find that he inquired of God, and he discovered from God that because he had humbled himself before him, that judgment would not come in his day, that God would be gracious to him. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we seek his mercy, when we seek his forgiveness, when we seek his grace, God is indeed gracious to us. And those of us who have discovered the grace of God through the person of Jesus Christ ought to be those who are reading our Bible, certainly, and we ought to be following through with the kinds of things that Josiah did. We read that Josiah determined that he was going to walk by the word of God. Not only was he going to walk with God, not only was he going to be one who was going to live for him, but he was going to be one who was going to open the Word of God and discover the Word of God, but he was also determined to walk by the Word. We read that he gathered the people together in chapter 23, and he brought them to the temple. You see, Josiah understood that if he was going to bring the people to God, he had to bring them to the throne of God. He had to bring them to the temple itself. It is sad that as a body of believers that we cannot gather as an assembly together, physically together. But I want to encourage you that every single one of us who belong to Christ can gather to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. Individually and collectively, we can do that, and we ought to be doing that. And let me just say that if we're going to be right with God, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to discover his will and walk in his will, we must come to the throne of grace. As it were, we must come to the temple. And so we find that he did that, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. Well, that must have taken quite some time. And I don't know whether he read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Perhaps it was one of those books, perhaps Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. But in any case, the Word of God was opened. And there are tremendous lessons there for us. What can we do at home? What ministry can I be involved in? Let me share this with you. If there is another person who is shut in with you, you have the opportunity to open the Word of God with them. You have the opportunity with your wife or wives, if your husband is not doing so, to open the Word of God with your husband. You have the opportunity to open the Word of God with your children. And you know, as Josiah did so, it had a tremendous impact upon the people. We find that he opened the Word of God, and we read also that he stood by a pillar. Well, there were pillars at the temple, and of course, they were there to support the building itself. But actually, there were a couple of pillars which were on the outside of the temple at the very front, which didn't support anything at all. They stood independently, and they were there for reminders. They had been given names. They were actually made of bronze or brass, and they were given names. One was called Joachim, and the other was called Boaz. Boaz means in him is strength. Joachim means he shall establish. And so these two pillars remind us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is strength, and he is the one who establishes. For the nation of Israel, that was a lesson they needed to know, that the Messiah himself is the one in whom our strength is. And the Messiah himself is the one who establishes the nation. But how true for the people of God in this age. In him is our strength, and he is the one who establishes our hearts. And oh, how important it is that we would open the Word of God, that we come to the throne of grace and find our strength in him. Josiah, when he stood beside that pillar, and when he read the Word of God, he made a covenant before all the people that he was going to follow the Lord. He said, I'll tell you this much, I'm going to live for God. And that's something that we can tell others and that we ought to be doing in our own homes. And not only that, but he also made a promise as well that he was going to keep the Word of God. He was going to follow God with all of his heart and all of his soul, and he was going to perform all the words. You know, if we truly are going to live for God, we're going to follow the book. And there are commandments for us in the New Testament that we need to be following. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that is a responsibility of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else that Josiah did is that he decided that he was going to bring about a renovation throughout all the land. Actually, I'd like to point out something else. And that is that the people who were there, who were with Josiah, that they also made a covenant as well. All the people took a stand for the covenant. You see, the result of Josiah's commitment had an effect on those around him, those that he was responsible to lead. I'd like to encourage the dads and the moms and even the grandparents as well, as you connect one way or another through some means of communication with the grandkids. I'd like to encourage you that as you take a stand to follow the Lord, and as you encourage that you would be an example to the younger generation, that they too will decide that they're going to follow the Lord when they see your level of commitment. Well, we read that what Josiah did then next is, in order to follow the Lord, he said, well, we've got to clean up the temple. And I find it interesting that so many years later that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the temple and he cleaned out those things which were dishonoring to him. And I think it's interesting that Josiah maybe for the very first time realized that there were things in the temple which were dishonoring to God, things that they had been so used to. There were the idols that were there. There were altars that should never have been there. And he began at the temple and then throughout Jerusalem and then outside of Jerusalem and then throughout all of Judea and then throughout Israel itself. And the work never stopped. They cleaned out and cleaned out and cleaned out all of the things which were dishonoring to a holy God. They didn't start from the outside in. He started from the inside out. And that's exactly how it is in our lives. For the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and renovation and renewal and cleansing begins in the heart as we commit ourselves to the Lord and as we confess our sin to him. Is that something we're willing to do? That we would open the book and then we would realize that our lives should be open to the Lord, and we allow him to cleanse us from within and all the way through our lives as well. Something else that I find that's very, very interesting, and that is Josiah discovered something else, something that had been forgotten. And it's astounding for the believer in Christ to realize that they'd forgotten about the Passover. We read in chapter 24 and verse 21 that the king commanded the people that they needed to keep the Passover, and he for one was going to keep the Passover. Well, the Passover was actually where it all began for the people of Israel. It was at the Passover, the first Passover, that they truly became God's people. It was at the first Passover when the lamb that was innocent and that was clean and that was pure and undefiled, that lamb was slain and the blood applied to the doorpost. And it was at the Passover, that first Passover, when they became the people of God and they entered into a relationship with him. You know, we find that they were told that they were to yearly celebrate the Passover. They were never, ever to forget what the living God had done for them, but they had forgotten. You know, we find today that there is a Passover for us. There's a Passover lamb for us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one who went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his precious life for us. It is at the cross and through the work of Christ at the cross that we find forgiveness, that we find eternal life. We realize that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I wonder if you've forgotten about the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how sad that we would neglect him. And if we're truly going to follow the Lord, we've got to keep coming back to the cross. It all begins at the cross. It's at the cross that we find forgiveness. It's at the cross that we experience the grace of God. It's at the cross that we become a child of God. It's through what Christ did for us there, as we trust him as Savior, that we come into a relationship with God. I wonder if you've neglected the cross. Maybe you're listening this morning, and maybe you want to be religious and you want to do what's right with God. Let me tell you this. You can never become a child of God, and you will not belong to God unless you come to the cross where Jesus Christ died for you and you trust him as your own personal Savior. But then for the child of God, we need to keep the cross central. The Jewish people in the time of Josiah had forgotten about the Passover. And we need to keep the cross central. And just as they were to celebrate the Passover every year, never forget, we are to never forget what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, what can we do in these days that we're locked inside? Well, we can come to open our Bibles. We can open our hearts before a holy God. We can come to that open throne of grace. And we need to come daily to the cross, for Christ died for us. Let me ask you, what does it mean to you that Christ died? And are you coming there every day for cleansing? Are you coming there in confession of your sin? Are you allowing the Spirit of God, as you read the Word of God, to show you the sins that are in your lives that are not honoring to Him? These are times for reflection. These are times for recommitment. These are times for renovation. These are times to discover afresh what Christ has done at the cross. I find something else as well, as I think about all of that, that the believer is instructed to remember the Lord Jesus Christ by the taking of the loaf and the taking of the cup. They had a yearly Passover. And you know what? We find that the Lord Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. It's not through the bread and through the cup that we find forgiveness at all, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that those elements picture. Sadly, at this time, we're not able to gather together as the body of Christ to remember him. But I'd like to encourage you that when the church is able to gather together again, that you make it a priority to gather with the church, to gather with the body of Christ, and remember what Christ has done for you, that you make it central. And I'd like to encourage you as well, that even in your own home, that you might remember the Lord Jesus Christ even today, and that you might remember him. You might be with your family, you might be with your husband or your wife, and you both know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have an opportunity to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to encourage you to do that in your own home. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, that he's there in the midst with us. I read concerning Josiah as we close off here in verse 25 of chapter 23. We read, now before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses. You know, that reminds me of something. He turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all his might. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was asked what was the greatest commandment of all? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. We obey the Lord because we love the Lord. We love the Lord because he first loved us, and we realize that he gave himself at the cross of Calvary. Oh, may our hearts be in tune with him, and may we know his forgiveness firsthand. And so let me ask you this morning as we close off together, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? And what does the cross mean to you? And do you realize that even in your own home, you can still come to the cross? Do you realize that in your own home, you can still come to the throne of grace? Do you realize there still needs to be a cleansing and a renovation work that goes on in your heart? Do you realize that you have a tremendous opportunity while you're shut in with not much to do, that you have an opportunity to open the Word of God and discover what God wants you to know? Oh, that this might be a precious time. Oh, that even with all the things that are going on in the world, that we might put our cares and anxieties aside, and we would say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart. And so may that be the desire of our heart, that with all of our heart and all of our soul and of all of our strength, we're going to seek him and we're going to love him because we're going to discover him in his own book. May that be the experience for each and every one of us, and may the Lord richly bless each of us. I'd like to share with you the words of a hymn. I'm not going to sing it to you, but some of you know it. I guess we can call it a hymn, written by Michael W. Smith. We often sing it at camp, actually. And the words say this: holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. Where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. May that be the prayer of each and every one of our hearts. And may we each know the Lord's blessing as we turn to him in faith. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you this morning for the tremendous privilege and blessing we have of gathering in this way. It's not a physical gathering. I guess you'd call it a virtual gathering. But Lord, it is nonetheless a spiritual gathering as we come before the throne of grace. We thank you for the access we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that each one listening in this morning might individually and personally know Christ as their Savior. And oh Lord, if anyone listening this morning does not know him, Lord, that even right now they would trust him. For each and every believer, Father, may we find our strength in Christ. May we open our Bibles. May our hearts be open to God. May we come to the open throne of grace. And Father, may we be open to doing all that you want us to do. Lord, may we love Christ. May we be before the cross. And Father, may we know cleansing. May we know that renovation and that renewal. And Father, may we know the joy and rejoicing in our hearts through belonging to Christ. We just pray your blessing on each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you know what you're doing with us in each and every life. And we thank you, Father, that we can trust you. We pray all these things, Lord, in Christ Jesus' blessed and worthy name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. This has been Northside Bible Chapel. And if you're watching live or if you're watching this at some other time, whenever we are finished isolating ourselves, we would love to see you. For our Northside family, know that we miss you, we love you, and let's remember to keep in touch with one another, check in on each other, pray for one another. Hillside family, I can call you family, I miss you as well, and let's hold one another up in prayer. I have some more music here of Suzanne Thompson, so enjoy this, and if you'd like to stay around afterwards, we might open up the cameras and audio and say hi to each other, okay?